Take two.
Unovenauer, 10-8-1, six lines up from the bottom.
Oh, my gosh, the lines are turning
slightly
red.
More than halfway down.
Wow. All righty. So, let's see. What are we talking about over here? Oh, gosh. I have to get into this. And I fell asleep, and now I'm not awake. And I have to figure out what I'm talking about. Let's see. So, last thing we wanted to say was this. Let's see, in Tesla and Bezos, the three lines in the bottom, we said, Sharashim Aimbahin Mamish. Right? Then we said, Rav Ze'era said, Rav Yossi, was the Hirb of Farish or the Yur Medaikit? And he thought from the din of Hektish that he was. He said, well, that's not a good riot because Hector should be played there. Okay. But what? If it's a case where you can't be poda, so it's like up as a can of Roy Lashavala Lachaiva. If you have an old tree, so that's intent has nothing to do with it. So therefore what? Therefore, when a branch of a young tree is grafted onto the trunk of an old tree, then it will become exempt. Okay? It will become exempt. So, we're going to have now a raya. Support for this idea. The young tree that was grafted onto an old tree will be exempt. Okay, Rabbi Bubba Shem Rabbi Yochanan. Esrog Shechanat B'Shnas Arla. Suppose you have an esrog tree. And Chonat, it emerged. Now he brings over here a machlokes rishonim exactly how to say what emerge means. So he says, Chonat may mean that the flower falls off. It also might mean that the stage at which it becomes chayav in maestros, which is the Rambam, he brings that from the Rambam, in which case it's a third of its growth. Not sure exactly what Chonat exactly means. But it's a stage at which fruit trees, most fruit trees, grows partially in one year, partially in another, is assigned to the year in which it emerged. So,
we're trying to figure out the starting point of the year one,
so,
and the end point of the year.
No, what we're doing is we're starting with an arla. So it's one of the first 3 years, right? So so it emerged, meaning it became. We started the count. During an arla year, okay? So now, it grew in arla. It's also bahana. Grows another year of arla, right? Now you get to the netar avoy year, right? And it's still growing. Now the reason we pick esrog is because it's very simple. And esrog is dharmi shan lishan. It stays on the year. It stays on the tree year to year, which is unusual. You don't usually find that by a fruit. But over here you have that, okay? So let's see what's going to happen here. So Esav Shechanah B'Shnas Arla. It grew during an Arla year. Yotzeh B'Shnas Heter. And it completed its growth during the permitted year. So let's say that's Netzar Voy year. Yeah.
It's not about the fruit itself.
I'm talking about the esrog itself. Right?
And the fruit normally doesn't follow the tree.
Yeah, of course it does.
The tree, it was the oil.
The tree is the first 3 years, yeah.
I understand, but the tree is planted, the fruit grows much later.
Right.
But esrog grew during that.
Let's make it a case where we had an arla tree, which was producing fruit, which we discussed yesterday, that you could replant the tree. When you replant the tree, it starts to arla count again. Right. So let's make that case. Okay. So it's an arla tree producing fruit. 3 years it grew arla. Fourth year is Netzar Avoy, right? That's what it says here, permitted year, 10. Does he say that it's fourth year? Yeah, fourth year. Sipko L'Chaveiro, or, this is a different case, or after it grew in an Arla, a year, then you grafted a branch from the arla tree to another tree which was not arla, okay? Not arla. So The din is, I feel a moisif kama, usur. Even if after, let's take both cases, even after it hits the netar of a year, and it continues to grow, and let's say it grew, you know, a lot more. It doubled its size, more than doubled its size. It doesn't make a difference. It's not going to be mutter. Or in the case of the case where he joins it to another tree, which is not arla, doesn't make a difference if it continues to grow. It doesn't make a difference, right? Afilu moisif kama aser she'en gidulei iser mal and esa iser. We've had this rule before, that if something starts off the iser, and then later it becomes mutter, and it grows beheter, doesn't make a difference. Since it started with iser, the core was aser, and what grows afterwards is not mavatal, the core.
The fittest, even if it's 200 to 1 by normal.
Yeah, it's true. It could be even if it's 200 to 1.
And that heter and iser, the part that was heter and iser is intermingled? So
yeah.
So they separate one off?
Yep, yeah, no, yeah.
It's a fruit.
They're intermingled.
It's one fruit.
I know it's one fruit, but I don't know how fruits grow, but do they start in the middle and then they grow around?
It wouldn't make a difference. You're suggesting that perhaps the inside of the core of the fruit stays arla, and the outside, no.
Stays on a tree for many years. That same ester stays on the tree. Anything that was past this point, as the Gemara described, that third chanata, 5 years later, that's usher.
Correct. Yep.
So, lemaisa, do they take all those as rogam off? Do they mark them? How do they know?
You want to know what I would do if I owned an ester orchard and I had these kind of trees? I would go through at the end of the third year and take all those estrogum off the trees and destroy them. Well, why would you keep them around? They're all oser b'hanna. Oser b'hanna. Yeah.
And that's why you charge $230.
That's exactly why.
So many trees don't bear fruit.
Yeah, it's unusual.
So we said last night with our kava, there was no fruit involved. When you take a tzira and you markiv it into a zake, and
right.
It potters the tzira from being orla
right.
At that point, there's no fruit. If
right.
The fruit started to grow,
that's right.
All bets are off. Then,
that's basically
what this,
that's what this is saying. That's correct. Okay? So that's so far what it says. Now, ha yalda shesipka tahira, ha yalda shesipka. But if you had a young tree that was grafted with an old tree, then tahira hayalda, the young tree is purified, according to Rav Hanina. In other words, what we said yesterday.
It's considered post-arla.
It's, yeah. Wait, which,
this is talking
with
no fruit on the tree.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we said. So in other words, if it started to grow and then you attached it, so subsequent fruit that will grow from that will be mutter, right?
Until you sever it,
correct. In Tamar Aloy Tahara, because if you're going to say that it's not purified, I feel a moist of kama aser. Why does he state that if the parent tree was grafted onto a post-arla rootstock, and even if it increased many times its original size, it's also because the growths that developed because of in right? Why does he have to say that for? What do you need that svar for? Where if you hold that attaching it to a zikena is not going to help the ikker anyway, so everything is usher. It was part of gedule. It's gedule arwa. You don't need a svara that, right? In other words, we're talking about the second case now, really. The second case where you took, let's say it grew 2 years of arwa, and then you go ahead and you take one branch of the esrog and you attach it to an azakena.
And it grows
some more. Yeah. So why does he have to say that the gedulei iser are not mavatal the ikar Just say if the attachment to the zakeno is loy malav loy mirid, just say that what it continues to grow after the second year continues to be arla because it wasn't arla meikar.
But it has value if new fruits
grow. So it must be that it has a value. I think that's what the Gemara is trying to say here. Rather, it's obvious he concurs with Rav Chanina that grafting does purify the tree, so the esrog subsequent growth is inherently permissible, and that's why he needed to invoke the principle of growths that develop from prohibited matter do not nullify. That was why he said that. Okay? Now we're on Yudama Bays. Okay, tree? Okay.
Is this a chiddush by an esrog tree? Because the fruit stays on year to year?
Yeah, that's
apple tree also.
You would never have this happen by an apple tree. In other words, if you had an apple on an apple tree, during the year that it's growing, it's going to fall off. The apple doesn't stay on the tree from year to year. I'm going to anticipate what you're saying. It will apply if you're in the middle of the first year. It's producing the apple. You have a small apple. Then you take an apple branch, attach that apple branch to another zakena apple tree, and then the apple continues to grow in that same year. Same din. Okay? Does that make sense? It's awesome.
So the only way you're going to benefit is not in that year that you attach it, but in the subsequent years.
That's correct. Reb Zeir, I think you're saying correctly. Reb Zeir b'shem Rabbanin, so he says like this, he's going to say very much, very similar, repeating what we just said again. Let's see what happens here. Regarding an esrog that emerged during an orla year, and it came out in the permitted year, the sipto l'chaver, and then you, or you, you.
Isn't it contradictory?
What?
Isn't it built towards kind of, how could it?
It comes, it means it's coming out in the netar of a year.
It says
orla year.
Oh.
It started in the orla year, and it was nigmar in the heter year.
So we've just said that it's ushered.
Right. We're just repeating the same case again. The sipko, or sipko l'chaver, you grafted it. Even if it adds on much, it's going to be aser. Same thing we said. Now we're going to say that it's kiddush now. The lichen alav bekezayis. Now this already you have to be very careful. So if someone eats arla fruit, he gets malchus.
Gets to my question, basically.
Exactly. I'm going to get to your question. So now let's take, what's the status of the fruit, right? So let's see what it says over here. This is Reb Zeir, so let's keep track of the names. So Reb Zeir basically said, you get malchus, even though all you ate was the kezias of the fruit. Let's take a look at two first in the footnote. The rabbis maintain that all the esrog, including the new growth, is inherently arla. Accordingly, if you had an olive volume, it's malchus, because he's eaten an olive of pure arla. In contrast to the previous citing ruling by Rabbi Yochanan, he prohibited it because the gedulin are not levatel the iser, which meant that there was heter in the fruit. If there was heter in the fruit, then if you ate a kezias, it wouldn't be enough to be osir. You would have to eat proportionately an amount, right? He's going to give an example, right?
But if it's not
mavatel,
so then it's
tarubis. Exactly. But tarubis, you don't get a malchus unless you eat kezias. Here, he brings it down. You would not incur lashes unless the portion was large enough that the arla component alone amounted to the full kezias. For example, he gives the example. An esrog's new growth was five times the original growth. You'd have to eat five kezias. Six. Yeah, five times. It's math. So if it's five times bigger, so you have to have six kezaisim to get the full kezais, right? Okay. So now the Gemara is assuming, okay, that this remember, we keep talking about two cases in each one of these cases. One is, it just grows, not without attaching it to something. It just grows, one, two, three, four, it grows into the fourth year. That's one case. Another case is
grafting.
Grafting case. And we're assuming that when it says that you're lichen, it's going on both cases. That's the assumption now. That's what it says over here. Regard to this ruling, the Gemara initially presumes that the lichen olav is going on both cases. Okay? So let's start now. So the Gemara is going to challenge. So Amar Maishel Reb Zeira. You say two things and one thing contradicts each other. Here you say in the name of Yerkan, on the one hand, you said that we just said on Amar Aleph, right? That it's not Mavatalit, which indicates that the additional growth is not forbidden in and of itself, rather, it's because it isn't able to nullify it. And you hear you telling me you only have to eat this kazayas, but if it should have the cheshbon like we just said six times. It should be proportionate.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be contradictory. Mm-hmm. And that's the question the Gemara is asking. So the Gemara says, here's the answer. That what? Kan machmas atzmo hu chai. In the latter ruling, the rabbi's concluding statement that one incurs lashes is to the case where the tree is deriving sustenance from its own root, namely, the first case, where it's just growing itself, and it's growing one, two, three, four.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, right, that the case of the Yasrig emerged while the tree was still subject to Arla, and continued growth during the fourth year. In that situation, even the part of the esrog that grew in the fourth year is inherently forbidden as Arla on account of the fact that the esrog reached its critical stage of emergence before the conclusion of the three-year Arla period. In other words, it's not significant. I guess that's what he's trying to say, six. So the emergence has taken place while it was subject to Arla. The esrog still derives its sustenance from the same tree. The esrog is attributed to the year of its emergence. As a result, even the growth that develops after that, it's inherently arla. So, but that's not true. We're going to read the next line. Mekan machmas sipuku. But in the second case, where you're attaching it to another tree, there, the tree is deriving sustenance from the graft as well. So you're pulling, it's almost like, I don't know how to explain this scientifically so well, but I would say like this, that the sap of the first 3 years are what's powering this tree. So if you're not connected with another tree, you're still using Arla sap, so to speak, to further its development. Mashenkin, if you connect it to another tree, you've got an alternate feed of mutter sap. That seems to be the difference, right? In that instance, the new growth obtains the status of the rootstock and is therefore inherently permitted. The esrog as a whole is forbidden only because the new growth cannot nullify the prohibited matter, okay? So that's basically... So
even though we say akol ha'chartov,
I don't know. Where does it say Hakol HaKarasov?
I don't know. But it sounds good.
I need not Shan Sova. Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is Hakol HaKarasov, meaning the Chanita of the Esrog is during Orla, you're done. That's it. It's Orla. It doesn't make a difference how much it grows after and how much it's
if you don't regraft.
Without grafting.
The first case.
That's in itself. It's a huge chiddush.
Yes.
Because you're saying a little bit is usher, it could grow 10 times the size. It's all usher.
Yeah.
And you get malchus because kazayis.
That's right.
It's not proportionate.
It is. It's,
you don't need to, it's not proportionate, right? It's just a straight up kazayis. Because it all becomes usher by the beginning of the story. At the beginning of the story, it's Orla.
Kind of like Klein, if we start from that way.
I'm just saying that, that according to that opinion. I'm not saying that that's halacha. I don't know what the halacha is. I'm just saying, according to that opinion, that's the pshat, which is a huge chiddush.
Yes. That's correct. So let's go to 10B. There are issues with this pshat, and you can see the box to see the girl, but I want to do it now. Me'ata, so Gemara says, what we can conclude is a ramification to what Rabbi Yonah is saying. Asher shachanat v'shnas arlo, v'yotza v'shnas heter. Okay, so completed the growth in the heter year. V'sipkol chaveru. Then the owner grafted one of the branches of that tree onto the trunk of another tree similar to it. V'chein chaveru, and also another tree. Sipkol zel azeh. So this is a case like this, right? In other words, look at the second paragraph, 11. In other words, hold on a second. Not so fast. In other words, look, second paragraph of 11. There were two post-arla trees, side by side, each carrying an esrog, whose emergence had emerged during the arla year. Okay, so you got an arla, right? And you got arla fruit in both trees. The owner took a branch of one of the trees, grafted onto the trunk of the other tree.
Post-arla.
And then, right, and then a branch of that other tree grafted onto the trunk of the first tree. All right.
A went to B, B went to A.
Right, so we're only dealing with two trees here, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to have an interesting thing happen over here, which is completely counterintuitive. What's going to happen?
Either A and B connects to C.
Hiaru ze'ezeh. They're going to mitire one another. Okay? Meaning any new growth is going to be completely tahar.
Because they're post-arla. When he did it, they were post-arla.
He grafted it after arla.
It's as if you grafted it to a post-arla.
So when they have, so why do they have to, when they have to graft, when they accomplish for it?
Why are they coming onto this? I don't know, because you've already won that.
One second, hold on a second. No, sorry. No, I don't mean the new fruit. I meant the old fruit, the new growth. That's the point here. The new growth of these two esrogim. See, watch what happens. Let's start over again. You have the fruit growing. We just made a yesod that makes a chilek between, we'll call it meikara, right, itself, and machmas sipuk, right? So we said that if it's from itself, it remains osur, and you'll be chayav even a kazayas. Yes?
Yeah.
But if I would have left the trees alone, that would continue to be true. I'd be chayav kezayis in the fourth year and the fifth year. Yeah?
Right.
But if I go ahead and cross-pollinate the two trees to one another, now whatever grows, I'm also getting sipuk from another tree, which was post-arla years. Right. Now what's going to be mosif in the esrog fruit is heter.
It's a mixture
as a whole fruit. It's a mixture,
right.
But you no longer exactly what he said. You're no longer going to be chayav a kezayis. You don't be chayav malchus with a kezayis. Now you're going to have to eat proportionate. So that's what changes over here. This is a strange thing.
You're going to have to eat proportionate, or the whole thing becomes mutter.
No, the whole thing doesn't become mutter. How does it? It doesn't lose. We never said all things comes water. Rabbi Yochanan said his halacha that ain hagidulim mabatlan is haikar. That's what he said. So that's why it remains osur. But how much do you have to eat to get malchus? You have to eat proportionate. What?
So what's the chiddush here? You're
that is a chiddush because the tree itself, as it stands. Let's look at these two trees objectively.
They both have
an arla fruit on it.
But it's post arla now. If you took another tree from somewhere else,
I understand that.
And grafted onto one of these, it would be okay.
I'm saying it's. Let's suppose I took this tree and I pointed it at itself. I mean, if you think it would make a difference? It's just a strange thing. It's a little strange. It's not terrible. You're right. I think it's an interesting thing, like Gemara said. Me'ata. That's Gemara says me'ata. Look at this interesting halacha that we come out with. Okay. Now we're going to address the dispute regarding the posts are on the rootstock that layered in the ground. Tanakama exempted the layered sign from Arlo without qualification. The mayor disagrees. He said it depends if it was moist, right? That's what we said. If it was moist, then it continued to grow on it from the original. And if not, then it's considered new growth and it would be austere, right? I think that's what we said, yeah? We're going to start a new count, right? Are we good with that? Guys, do you need me to review that again?
The sign,
what's a sign? Remember, a sign is that I have a grapevine, and then I take a loose grapevine, and I graft it, right?
Right.
Now I go ahead and I ground it, right? And then I do that again. I do it again, right? So now, each one, the Chachamim say, since it's attached to the original, so that none of them are Arla.
Right.
Remeir qualifies it. He says, no. If further down the line I see that it's not really getting that much tipuk from the master, then it's no good. How do I know? I see. Is it moist? That seems to be the that's the machlokes. Right? Remeir Oimer, right? Where the strength of the rootstock is adequate to sustain the grafts, then they're permitted. But where it's not, then it's forbidden. So Gemara says like this. Gemara is going to clarify how we know. It's very interesting. That they disagree in cases where it's not physically apparent whether it's sustained by the rootstock or not. So manan kayamin, what are we dealing with? So the Gemara says, "Imdaver bari hushuhu chayim karchas kano." If it's clear that it's living from the old one, so then dereyakol mutter. Everybody would hold this mutter. "Imdaver bari shuhu chayim karchayalda." If it's absolutely clear that it's the strength of the subsequent layers, then dereyakol also will be also because there's a new elokin kanan. What are we talking about? The stam, where it's not 100% clear. Right?
We don't know.
So
didn't we say, though, yesterday that did it make a difference? If the competition between is it your name?
You're right. We said it didn't make a difference whether it took root first or didn't take
right,
root first.
Didn't
yes.
Take root first because it's Borkov.
Here we're not discussing that. Here we're discussing whether it's actually getting sustenance from the Harkova. That's not what we were discussing yesterday. What we were discussing yesterday is whether it makes a difference the order of it. It makes no difference, right? Tanakama holds in the absence of any clear indication to the contrary, we presume that it's being sustained by the original rootstock. So therefore, it's got the all-exempt status. Remeir holds no. That depends on the condition. Is it hardy or not? Okay? Now, Moore says on Yud Aleph, Kesa hu yodea. How do you know whether it is being sustained or not sustained, right? The Gemara is going to say a very simple way. Rabbi b'shem Rabbi Chanina, how do you know? How you hold in Hafukin Klapin Yaldo? If the leaves are turned towards the roots of the young layer and away from the old rootstock, if that's the way that leaves are facing, the Rabori Shul Kaimukar Hazakeno, then it's coming from the old one. But if the leaves are facing the zikena, then we know it's getting sustenance from the new one. The way to remember this simon is very simple. When you eat from your friend, you are embarrassed to gaze at him because you're giving me handouts. I'm embarrassed. So you look the other way. So the leaves are going to face the opposite way from which they're being sustained. This is fascinating.
That's
fascinating thing. Okay. And one more line. I'm rebuting. So therefore, where are they arguing? In other words, we have a clear way to know where it's getting sustenance. Again, we said that if it's clear where it's getting sustenance, there's no machlokas. So where is their machlokas? The answer is when the leaves have fallen off.
We don't know which one.
That the case where they're having the machlokas is where they fell off.
Oh, so then Tanakama says,
that's when you have Tanakama says Mistama from the Zekena.
And Rabbi Meir says it's Mistama from the new root.
That's correct.
But new trees don't fall.
Very good. Square. That's good.
Funny.